Welcome to episode 46 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pratap, and Aaron Catino-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids just like you. Last time, the crew of Every Audrin sat down to a feast at Swiftwell's Respite. Instead of Coriander Swiftwell making the opening toast, however, they were joined by Ard Blacknell, the oldest novice in the Swiftwell Courier Service, and a very surprising guest, Olivia Youngblood. After dinner, the couriers proceeded up to the old Swiftwell Manor House, and y'all, more people got asked to prom. Will they say yes? What will they wear? What more surprises await them at the old mansion? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey, ho.
Yeah, Braith is, like, since the moment he landed, he's very nervous, very uncomfortable. There is obviously a lot of attention on him. And all he really wanted to do was, like, see his friends, and he has barely seen his friends. And this is his first opportunity to see everyone and try to explain what happened without explaining what happened.
I think Bobby Jean is, like, talking about things. Like, people are just taking their hands off of June's face. And Bobby Jean turns, and Braith is there, like, underlit by this kaleidoscope of these flowers.
Hey, guys. Hey, Braith.
Hey. Braith!
Hey.
Hello there, Braith. How you doing?
He kind of shrugs and almost drops a few of the flowers, and he kind of, like, tries to bundle them back.
Oh. Lot of firelight daisies you got there. Well done.
Yeah.
Is that more than last year?
Yeah. Yeah. About 5 more. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Absolute good. Icon.
I mean, green's definitely your color.
Everybody keeps telling me it brings out my eyes.
And it does. And it looks like things are finally turning around for this prom. I don't know what has been up with the organization for this year, but them not having enough chairs at our table for you, I think, is a big misstep. I spoke to a raccoon about it. I don't think anything's getting done, though.
A raccoon?
Yeah, I paid him off. Don't worry. I got you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that's going to pay off, but Bobby, why don't you come over on this side of the path with me for just a minute?
Sure thing.
They kind of stroll over. It's really not that far from everyone else because it's not a huge path, but it's, you know, it's wide enough that you have a small personal bubble of space. And Braith kind of takes the fistful of flowers and tries to jam them into, like, the breast pocket of his jacket and not squish them too much. Mm-hmm. And then he puts a hand on Bobby's shoulder and says, Bobby, I don't think you're quite picking up what's getting put down right now, bud. Something happened in Thornvale that is going to change the course of my career.
What do you mean?
Is Uncle Coriander okay?
I don't love
that uncertainty. Don't love
he's
that.
He's tired. You know, he's an older guy. He's tired. I think that he just wasn't feeling good. And, you know, sometimes people just don't feel good. And, you know, that's part of it.
Okay. Okay.
So don't worry about that.
So, yeah.
Everybody's Everybody but you knows what this jacket means. It's green for a reason. I'm not wearing red anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, you just hopped up a couple ranks. You probably still got some time on the ship. I mean, there are a couple years yet before you even start thinking about wearing green, so...
Athena, I told you I was going to see her. She had something for me.
What is something, Braith?
She told me I can't say too much, but when she told me about it, she made me an initiate.
We're in test shirt, and a couple weeks before that, you're all weird and quiet, and all of a sudden you got something that you got to just head off the ship and go see Fathina, and now you're an initiate?
Bobby, you know I told you something. Do you remember what I told you before I left, why I needed to go?
Braith, what happened? What did you find out?
Bobby, I can't say what I found out, but
I need to know what you've been doing. I need to know what took you away from Teshirt in the first place. You gotta be able to say something about that.
It's my parents, bud.
I mean...
You know I've been wanting to find out what happened to them. And now I've got an opportunity.
So you... Do you know or not know?
I know enough.
That means you gotta go away from the ship.
It does.
And Bobby falls quiet. You know, he's normally super chipper, normally a chatterbox, but things that he was clearly trying to ignore start to roll through his head. I don't want you to go away.
We're going to see each other again, Bobby. This ain't permanent. I'm going on a little journey again, and then I'm going to come back.
Bobby, like, tries to nod along, and he starts off nodding. And Bobby Jean is from a tradition of big, greasy criers. The tears well up and roll down the face like a Miyazaki-esque waterfall. They are falling big and falling hard. So he's like in the middle of the nod, and the nod sort of seamlessly transitions into shaking his head. I don't love it.
Bobby, what was our plan all this time? What's your goal?
Oh, I mean.
Why are you here? Why are you on this ship? What's your goal?
I'm going to be the Honey Smoke Postmaster.
Yes, you are. And what did I say I was going to be?
You're going to be an all courier.
And I'm going to come back as often as I can. We're going to hang out. And we're still doing that plan.
Bobby Jean, like, as they're walking, and suddenly Bobby Jean stops walking, faces Braith, looks Braith in the eye. Bobby Jean holds out a hand with a pinky extended. You're going to come back and see me.
You're absolutely right. I'm going to come see you. And Braith hooks the pinky and then pulls your whole arm in and gives you a big hug.
And Bobby Jean says into Braith's chest, I'm going to be postmaster. I'm going to work real hard, and I'm going to be postmaster, and you're going to come through the Honey Smokes, and we're going to hang out.
You got it, buddy. As often as I can.
And Braith, you feel, as Bobby feels, almost imperceptible. The small touch of a thread, of a serious promise made between two friends. And there's more crying, but the promise takes away the sting of an eventual loss.
The walk moves on. And I think we come to the manor house finally. It's there, lit up on that hill, this beautiful manor that has now been opened and the lights have been turned on inside of it. It looks warm and inviting, if, like I said before, a little run down. And The Audrins and their captains and some of the town folk are all ushered through, and it is a beautiful manor house on the inside. There are paintings and tapestries. It's very Palace of Versailles in a way. A lot of different rooms, room after room after room after room. For those of you that this is your first time here, there's a lot of oohs and ahs. There are some rooms that are full of one particular thing. Like I said, there's a room full of cabinets. There's a room full of, like, statues. There's a room full of trophies. There's a room full of just chests of different types. And there are some rooms that are completely empty. There's nothing in them at all. But eventually, all of you come to what will eventually be the ballroom you will have this evening in, this prom evening. And there, in this room, there are racks and racks of clothes that are just put out for everyone. There are piles of them. There are wardrobes that have been pulled out and opened that are just full of beautiful clothes, dresses and suits and everything in between. There is a bit of a stage at the front. There's like a raised dais, basically. And we see that Ard is up there. Patience Rebecca is up there. All the captains are kind of standing up on this particular place. Olivia's up there, too. Ard is like, welcome. Please, come on in. Everyone to the front. All right. Now, in a moment here, we're going to go through and you can find your clothes for prom. Before we do that, we have to tell you what the theme of prom this year is. All the captains and myself and Patience Rebecca have sat down, we've talked about it, and I feel like we've come up with a great one this year, thanks to you Audrin prom committees that brought forth these ideas. Thank you so much.
I think there's a shout from the prom, various prom committees.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah! Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And this year, the prom theme will, and he like has a piece of paper, and he like, actually,
the room has got to like,
everyone's like kind of rattling around, ready to go. And he goes, actually, Miss Youngblood, you are our guest. Would you mind reading it out?
Of course. Thank you all so much for bestowing this honor upon me, your treasured guest. And the prom theme for this year is going to be From the Red Audrin, the Court of the Changelings.
Woo! Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well done. Let's
well
go.
Done. We won. I can't believe we
Yay.
Won.
We crushed it.
We did a really good job.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Miss Youngblood. Well done, everybody. And on three. 3, 2, 1. Pick out clothes.
It's like a piranha. Black Friday yeah. sale.
Yeah.
People are body checking each other out of the way. Clearly, some of the older kids know where their favorite stash of stuff is, like in the area. Like,
I feel like it rearranges every year. Like, they probably know which rack it's on.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the game. And part of the game is like the wacky mix them up, see in the scramble. The adults would obviously laugh at a bunch of children trying to put outfits together from like a collection of clothes. It'd be ridiculous to watch.
Tell me, what are your Audrin prom outfits? Gosh. Also, there are masks. There are like animal masks set out.
I think they were set up like on this big wall. There's like a curtain that is pulled aside yeah. as they reveal the theme. Shink, that comes in. There are just hundreds of masks. And there have got to be like people with like big grabber arms or whatever that pull them off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can begin, if you'd like, if you don't mind.
I don't.
Cece is in her head doing, like, she totally goes through an entire magical girl transformation to enter this outfit. So she swirls her arms, and she spins around, and all of a sudden you see, I'll start at the top, you see this large and in charge kind of Carmen Sandiego big floppy hat. And then moving downward, her cool, cool hair, you see this kind of highwayman coat, kind of, but it only goes to the waist, because when it hits the waist, boom, you see this big bow and flam flares out, and this big old hoop kind of skirt. But it's not complete, because no, half the side is cut out, because you got to see these cool pants that have, like, they end at the knee, and then there's this boot, this high boot that hits the knee. So it's kind of this mixture of like highwayman, pirate queen, captain, but bam, big old skirt that goes all the way around. Like, if you tried to hug CeCe, good luck, because there's like a lot of skirt in the way. Shablow. And also her shirt has frills underneath. Canon. And also she's wearing a crested penguin mask.
Ooh.
Good.
Ooh.
Yeah.
June selects... First, I think the first thing June finds are these, like, velvet loafers.
Yes.
And they are in really nice shape. There are some spots where the velvet has, like, rubbed away, and they've clearly been, like, worn as dancing slippers before and
I think that is one thing about all these clothes, is that they are nice, but they're not new.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing.
Yeah. And she finds some like, knee-high socks to go with them. Like these, like, I guess like silk stocking kind of looking things. And then she finds this, like, it appears to be like a matching set, like this really nice, like, waistcoat, this really nice vest, right? With like a turned down shawl collar lapel and little buttons and little teeny weeny little pockets in the front. And it's like got a little cincher in the back so that you can loosen it or tighten it or whatever. And these matching, like, short pant trousers, like shorts. Clearly, like, some kid wore these to a fancy wedding or something at some point. And they kind of match, like, they kind of go together like they were part of a suit maybe at one point. But then June finds, in digging for, like, a shirt or whatever in one of these wardrobes, June finds this beautiful, billowing, like, soft, sheer... It's like color shift fabric where, like, it's not iridescent, but it does shift between like two or three colors depending on the angle and the light. This sheer, luxurious, like, I don't want to say it's like a nightgown, but it might have been a nightgown. And it's got these big, beautiful, billowy sleeves that end in like ruffle cuffs at the wrist, and like a high low hem from front to back. Just really billowy chiffon, like, confectionery fabric. And it actually fits just right under the vest and to over the shorts like a dress, but it's not a dress. It's clearly not a dress, but it is dress-like in the shape of it. And it's very, like, surprisingly very frilly and very girly compared to what June would normally wear.
At some point during all this, as you're going through things, fending off people trying to take your stuff.
Yeah.
There is a tap on your shoulder, and it is Relia.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, like, a bundle of clothes, and she's like, so, before I, like, cement everything, just in case you wanted to go with me, I wanted to, like, match you.
You do?
If you want to go with me. You don't have to. This was stupid. I'm sorry.
No. Let me, hang on. And June holds up the sheer billowy nightgown thing that she's looking at, mm-hmm. and then kind of like holds it up to the pile of clothes in Relia's arms.
I saw something like that. I can get something like that.
No, I think whatever you want to wear is going to look really good with this.
So is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
The entire Red Audrin is, like, on the other side of the, like, rack. Just,
like, pressed between jackets and stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. I will see you at the bird yard tomorrow night. We'll get on birds and fly up here.
Is that what happens?
Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. You probably didn't know that. Yes.
I mean, Bobby Jean has been telling us about it, but there's a lot going on, and I...
It's your first one. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have, like a light dinner.
Great.
And we'll meet at, like, at the bird yard, mm-hmm. and we'll, like, they dress up the birds as well, and we fly very fancy, like, up to the house on birds, and we'll get a bird. I'll see you there.
Great.
Okay. Do you want to, like, eat dinner beforehand with us, or no, or yes, sir?
I don't really know what's going on with them.
I'll just meet you at the bird yard.
We'll figure it out.
We'll just meet you at the bird yard.
Okay.
Bird yard's
fine.
Before you two part ways, I do think Relia sneezes, and the entire Red Audrin on one side and the entire Black Audrin on the other side say, good Zendite, simultaneously.
Aww, yes.
So there's a, okay. All right. This is, cheers. Good. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Mm-hmm. And she turns
around. Zendite.
The captains as well.
And June does not move, but, like, slowly closes her eyes for a moment and then slowly opens them again.
And Relia turns around and kind of walks away.
Awesome. Great.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Mineral. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We wanted to take a brief pause to say thank you to all of you for being here and being a part of the story. We couldn't do it without you. Is that it? That's it? Cool. And now, since we have no other particular announcements in mind, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
So I think Kieran is kind of just like dives into a pile of clothes, and it's this brief moment of just things are flying in the air behind them. And it's a collection of like individual pieces for them. I think the first thing they find is something that's made of the same material that the sort of dressing gown type thing that June found. It's made of the same thing, but it's this beautiful, vibrant pink color, and there's just layers on layers on layers on layers of the fabric, so that it moves. It has this beautiful movement to it, but it also just has so much volume kind of around them. And then they also find this sort of, it's almost like a jacket that has like a kind of high collar, but it looks sort of cropped on them. And it has this one single sort of gold epaulette on one shoulder, beautiful buttons, and this kind of really delicate red and white and orange, like flower, almost a vine embroidery coming from the bottom hem up. And they also find this like beautiful velvet ribbon and these like random accessories, like this very delicate chain that they can wear, that kind of like try it on around their waist and like, that's good. Earrings, all of this stuff. And they kind of emerge from this pile of clothes fully dressed and are like, I found it.
Kieran, you look so good.
Thanks. And they twirl and they keep twirling until they fall over dizzy and just have a ton of fun with this skirt that they found. I think the last thing that Kieran grabs is a mask of a bat. It's very decorative. It has like all these floofy tufts and it's very cool.
I love that. That's amazing.
Bobby Jean has been, again, this is not Bobby Jean's first rodeo. And I think right now Bobby Jean like feels the pressure on this event, because this is not just an Audrin prom, which is already a high pressure situation, but this is Braith's last Audrin prom, like on an Audrin for the foreseeable future, for a little bit. So he had always planned that this year was going to be perfect, that this year was going to smooth out all the wrinkles that had come up in previous years. This is the year to put together the plan that he has enacted over a series of years, taking in all of the highs of Audrin prom in the past and all of the lows of Audrin proms of the past. And Braith, tell me, what is always the worst thing about Audrin prom?
It's a little crowded.
A little crowded. That's right. Too many people getting up in your personal space, trying to dance with you, trying to pull you away from the snack table. Braith, what I'm about to share with you is a secret that I have been hiding for years. Are you ready to receive that secret?
You've been hiding things from me?
For an emergency, Braith. For the year that we needed to have the best Audrin prom that anyone could ever possibly have.
I trust you, Bobby.
Bobby goes over to a rack of like clothes that look not super great or fancy. They're all kind of like outwardly facing drab colors. And Bobby pulls them aside. And pulling them aside, you see a chicken bone dress frame. Now, what is that? Well, we might all know about whalebone dresses and corsets in our world. But of course, in Sphere, you don't go to the sea for your boning. You go to the land where there are huge giant birds. And the advantage of this is their bones are pretty light, which makes it great for framing out dresses like this. Bobby pulls it out and like unties something and then it springs open, and it is a massive hoop that is like 6 feet in diameter. And Bobby, like, lowers it onto himself. I cannot be approached. My perimeter cannot be breached.
Bobby, what? How are you going to reach things?
Yes, of course, Braith. I see this. I see this mighty armor hidden amongst the dreck of forgotten prom dresses. But of course, how will I reach the snacks? Why, Braith, the answer to that is right in front of your very eyes. And Bobby directs Braith over to the people who have, like, these extending arms that they're pulling off masks off the wall with. And Bobby, like, reaches up in each hand two of these, like, little grabber arm devices and starts reaching them out and grabbing at things. No one is going to be able to dance with me. I cannot hold someone's hand to dance. But I can reach all the food and snacks to my heart's content. Braith, this year is going to be the perfect year.
I can't even get close to you.
Buddy, there's going to be a splash zone with the snacks that I'm eating. You're going to be as close as safety will allow. Besides, there's usually that portion. You remember in years previous how there's usually like a line of people who are looking to dance with you?
Yeah.
I say a good 45 minutes of prom every year, you are pulled away to a whirlwind of dancing. And I'm there supporting you from the snack table.
All right, Bobby. We got this worked out.
Bobby, like, then roams around the rest of the clothes looking for the dress that will be able to fit over this boning structure and eventually settles on this beautiful ball gown that is shoulderless, is easy to hold up on Bobby's generous frame. It provides a lot of free arm movement for him. He's testing it out with his grabbers, and he is in the perfect position. He then moves over to the wall of masks and I think grabs one that, yeah, grabs a hedgehog mask.
Nice.
A
very nice.
A blue hedgehog mask. That compliments, of course.
James.
I've been trying to figure out what kind of an animal June would grab for a mask, and I don't know.
What did Rhea grab?
Yeah, that's a great question. June's standing in front of the wall of masks, staring, overwhelmed, and then like kind of like turns around to see what everybody else has. Like,
Rhea grabs a bear.
June, after a long time of staring at the wall of masks and watching people make decisions and how they make the decisions, because everybody seems to like kind of do it differently. June finally sees the mask that she feels like she should take. And it's ornate, but it's not like super overly painted. Mm. Like some of them have a lot of intricate paint work. Some of them are carved. Some of them are like woven and whatever. And this mask is it was made really, really well, but it's not overly painted. It's got a really basic color scheme to it. It's a lion.
Nice. Yeah.
And the way the main, like the pieces of the mane kind of radiate out from the mask, like a almost like a sun mm-hmm. shape, and it's like the way the hair sort of like intertwines with itself and is carved into itself, but the paint is really basic. There's like a kind of a somber gold sheen to it, like a almost a dull gold sheen to it, June takes the mask and looks at it and says, well, lion, bird, lion, mask. Okay, yeah.
We got to sound that horse girl alarm.
Braith.
Yeah.
What are you wearing to prom?
Braith, having been waylaid with Bobby Jean listening to this long-winded explanation of the perfect prom, didn't really get much of a chance to grab things. So he is now over at the racks doing his best to grab what he can. He finds a nearly complete black suit and he kind of grabs for it. And as soon as he grabs for it, he's got kind of the the jacket by the collar, and then the rest of it gets torn out of his hand. Like, someone grabs the hanger and just runs away with the rest of it. So he's just got a jacket, and he's like, okay. So he puts that over his arm, and he's going through it, a desperate search to find pants. All that's left is, like, this weird rack of shorts, and he's like, okay. So he finds these tiny black hot pants. It's all he can find in the moment, and he keeps looking around, but he's like, I'm just going to take what I can. He just grabs it.
What is one thing that you don't have, but someone can like give you?
Oh, is this how Braith accepts an ask? Is someone has the perfect thing? Ooh.
He's got like a skirt thing that he's going to put on over it. So it can be either the skirt or if someone wants to hand him a mask.
It's up to you. Which one do you like better?
Let's have them hand him the mask.
Okay.
Perfect. I think in an effort to cover up the fact that he doesn't really have pants, he finds a black skirt, and in the low light of the room, it seems reasonably opaque, but it is like a black, like a soft black tulle, very fine, very swishy, and it feels very comfortable. He's like, okay, yeah, this will work. So he grabs that.
So you go up to the mask wall to like look at different ones. There are woodland animals like wolves and bears and deer.
Oh my.
And yeah, oh my. But there are more far-flung animals such as tigers and hippos and lions and lizards, all terrestrial-based animals. And what is one that like catches your eye that you are interested in?
I think he sees someone taking down one that looks really cool, very bright red. The feathers coming off of it fascinate him. I think it's the mask that this person takes every year. And it's a phoenix.
Ooh.
Very nice. And so you see this person go and like pick out the phoenix, and you're watching them as they do. And Ulrich turns around. Vajalota Brace, how are you?
Oh, hey, Ulrich.
Shall I get you a mask? Would you like one?
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
Would you like perhaps something avian in nature?
Sure.
Ah. When I look at you, Braith, I see determination, sharpness, maybe this eagle. And he pulls down like an eagle mask, and he looks at the two of them and goes, now, I will say, if you accept the mask, do you want to go to prom with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
That makes me very happy. And he hands you the eagle mask. And he does like an elegant bow. And he goes, Ulrich von Lock. But I'm sure you already knew that.
I am aware. And this I will note, is one of the first times people have seen Braith actually blush.
Ulrich is tall, handsome, a blonde undercut. His hair is like longer. And
sorry,
it's like,
which Audrin is he on?
He is on the black Audrin.
Okay.
He's
did we hang out with him?
No, you did not.
He wasn't there.
And he gives an elegant bow. He offers you his arm. And we see the two of you kind of like walk through, like kind of sitting and talking. And we'll find out what Ulrich is wearing when we actually get to prom.
Bobby Jean watches from the corner and goes, this will be the greatest prom there ever was.
Recedes into the shadows.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Sing it way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Sing it way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Sing it way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Sing it way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to never be thankful for what you've received. Sing it way, hey, ho. Sing it way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Audrin, there is a small room known as the mail room. Inside, three children are busy at work, doing the most important job on the ship, sorting the mail. Their names are Cecilia, June, and Kieran. And we open the tiny door to see them hard at work, definitely not slacking off. If Captain Dennison is listening, they are hard at work. I repeat, they are hard at work.
Okay, Cece, go long.
Ho! Got it!
Ah, nice.
I got hands. I got hands.
You're
for
so
days.
Good at catching things.
Oh,
seriously.
My God. And Cece puts the cheese ball in her mouth really cool. Because it was obviously nice. Snackies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously snack time. Snack mm-hmm. time. Snack o'clock. Mm-hmm. That was good.
Snack attack.
It's snack down time.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Huh. The down has been achieved.
The hands on the clock.
Snack down.
Say it's snack o'clock. And then time to eat these snacks. Crum. I should write music.
What does the clock say now?
The clock says, and it suddenly becomes a children's television show. Well, June, the clock says it's 4 o'clock sphere time.
Thank you. Thank you, clock reader.
It's don't thank me. Thank Clocky.
Thanks, Clocky.
Thanks, Clocky. I forgot we put a face on that clock, and now I wish we hadn't.
I know. There's faces on everything at the moment. There's Google eyes
terrifying.
On everything.
Yeah.
I know I went through my face phase recently, and I apologize.
Some of them are really good faces.
Yeah, you were drawn so much.
We cut to the face that is on all of the plants.
It makes them more expressive. I'm all about it, Kieran.
They have a lot of personality now. Speaking of faces, this plant's got something in its mouth.
Oh, what is it? Oh.
I mean, I didn't realize the plant's mouth was going to be right there, but it's a letter. It's one of our letters.
Snap.
Gosh, the plants really are moving our letters around. This is crazy.
Yeah.
All right, is snack time over? Should I read this?
You better ask Clocky. Well, I think it's time to read the letter.
I think it's time.
Okay. Dear Cece, Kieran, and June, Cece... Cece is obviously a fashion icon and tastemaker.
I do like to make pastries.
And loves
and I have to
too.
Imagine that some of those sensibilities have rubbed off on June and Kieran, whether they'll acknowledge it or not. What about the rest of the crew, though? Who's really bringing their own flavor to the Red Audrin uniform? On a juicier note, who on board could really use some fashion tips? All the best on your journeys, Sam. Wow.
I'm only a fashion icon. I don't know if you two know this, but I have been biting off of your fashion since we left Thornvale.
What?
Yeah.
What is
like
that?
I take
what
little
does that
bits
mean?
And pieces from the two of you and bring it to my thunder. That's all these fingerless gloves I've been wearing during the last season or arc or journey. They were definitely from you, June.
Oh.
Yeah, and my scarf, Kieran. Come on. You don't even wear scarves, but your hair looks really cool when the wind blows and I wanted that cool effect behind me.
Aw.
Yeah,
thanks,
so
Cece.
Don't think that I'm actually a fashion icon. I'm just stealing from the best. Had to clarify.
Yeah, but the way you put it together is always really good.
Well, I can't deny that that's a skill. However, is it rubbing off on the rest of the crew? Is the question?
Yeah, Sam wants to know who's really fashionable on the crew and who's really not fashionable on the crew.
I feel like it's hard to be really not fashionable on the crew because we all get really cute coats. I mean, some of them are spookier than others, but yeah.
Oh, spookier? What do you mean spookier?
Oh, like mine. It has a face on it.
I forgot about that.
Pretty spooky.
Pretty spooky.
June, can you describe to me like what makes someone fashionable?
Yes.
Thank you.
Someone who is fashionable is someone who looks really cool when they walk in a room.
Yep. Confidence, power.
That makes sense.
It's someone who...
Kieran's writing this down.
...wears the colors and textures that they really like.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Uh-huh. Not necessarily the stuff that other people like, but the stuff they really like, right? Mm-hmm. And people who...
Think about yourself. When do you feel powerful? Like, what clothes make you feel powerful and cool?
Cool belts.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And hats.
Oh! Yeah. See, what about you, Kieran? What clothes make you feel like an absolute powerhouse?
I'm going to go ahead and say belts also. And then probably like
pants, but like cool pants, you know? Yeah.
Cool pants with pockets.
With pockets and also belts that aren't where belts go.
Taste is just a matter of like what makes you feel like the best version of you, you know?
It's not that's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Being fashion is a fleeting thing about following trends. Real trendsetters they carve their own path and then they walk it, and then they walk it. They look cool and hot.
They turn around at the end and then they walk back.
And then they do. They walk this, they call it the dog walk in Sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but they want to know who on the boat has good fashion and who on the boat doesn't.
Based on the criteria that we have written down.
Good, yes.
I think either Ruby.
Yep.
Or Star Watcher Winchwind.
Oh, you're forgetting someone.
Or Captain Dennison. In the running.
I don't know why you're playing coy. We can all admit that Braith looks hot! I picked my coat because Braith's coat looks like this one. Because Braith looks cool.
You did do that.
Braith got fashion.
Okay. I will academically admit that Braith looks cool.
See?
Yeah.
Braith got style. Braith
objectively speaking, that is a true fact.
Yeah. I would like to submit for the approval of the fashion committee that Bobby Jean.
Bobby Jean is always serving looks.
The arms on his jacket got bit off by a condor.
Dopest thing in the world.
Let us not forget. That's very fashionable.
It is. And to say that, to ask it, like, who needs fashion help? I don't know, man.
Fenton.
Fenton Eves. I mean, Fenton just needs a lot of help in general, finding out. Mm-hmm. See, the thing that Fenton needs help with in terms of their fashion is Fenton doesn't really know who she is yet, and that's why she's so, like, angry, and that's why she attacks you, June, because, June, you have a strong grasp of who you are, what you want, and confidence and strength, and she's intimidated by that. She is, by that. Yes, that's why she attacks you so often, because with three of us, we are, like, an unstoppable juggernaut of confidence and power, and she's, like, an unfortunately, like, a little leaf floating through the air of insecurity.
Hmm.
Cece is working her sewing machine while she's saying this.
I feel like Fenton's kind of fashionable.
Oh.
You do?
Go on.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I think it's true that everyone on the ship wears what they feel like they look the best in, and they look cool because of that. And Karen like looks at all of the things that they wrote down about what makes someone fashionable. I feel like she checks all of these marks just like everybody else.
No, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about
truth.
That. I don't know. I feel like Captain Dennison has moments where he could probably wear something a little different.
He also, I think, needs to stop living in a closet. It needs to start filling his closet.
Remember that whole thing where he sleeps in a closet?
We need to help him.
Some days you can't tell at all, and then some days you can tell.
Yeah.
He needs help.
Should we try to help him?
Dress better. Give Dennison a makeover.
I kind of like that idea, actually.
That's not a bad idea.
No.
I'm not allowed near the office, though. Well, that
by yourself. Well,
by
right?
myself, that's true.
Unsupervised,
but you'll be there.
Yeah, of course. And we'll come with all these different looks and outfits and be like, Dennison, try this on. And then he'll walk the dog walk.
Oh, my gosh. This is such a good idea. We should do some sketches for him.
Yeah.
Oh,
red like is now. Really his color. So,
yes.
Here. Mm-hmm. Karen, like, with a full arm swing, knocks like 50 stacks of letters aside, slaps a deck of paper on the ground, and then just dumps crayons out on top of it.
It's time to get to work.
I think the three of them dive in like piranhas to grab the crayons that they want, and they immediately start drawing.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano-Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at DreamsToBecome. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at WorldsToForge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists, and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Campaign. Campaign is a long-form actual play podcast. Our current series, Campaign Skyjacks, takes place in an original setting inspired by folktales and classic adventure fiction. Join Liz Anderson, Tyler Davis, Johnny O'Mara, and Game Master James D'Amato as they tell a tale of daring sky pirates. Also, it's basically an elaborate retelling of Weekend at Bernie's. Just search for Campaign or James D'Amato on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Sing and way, hey, hey.